I am Jeff Martin. Brian Berger, my co-pilot, sitting right in front of me. And you're listening to The High Spot. A very special High Spot. It is a Valentine's Day
Jeff,
edition.
What is so special about this?
Why are you so grumpy? Is it because it's cold out?
That's one of many things that I'm grumpy about today.
It's a very special Valentine's Day edition of The High Spot. A lot of love in the air. I can feel it.
There's always love
between... But not from Brian.
No, never from me.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good. I mean, despite the weather being almost close to below zero out there, exhausted. Like you said, we've grown to be very accustomed to being multitasking type of individuals. But sometimes it reaches its limit. And you know,
have you plateaued? Are you like on the verge of having a breakdown, a meltdown?
Oh, no. No, I haven't reached that point yet. But it's gotten to the point where it's just, it's getting there. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because it's been a while since you and I have done this since last week, and last week was a really exciting show.
Oh, it was great to have John Canton on. Got some good feedback on that. And again, we're going to bring you a lot of good stuff on this show, which is The High Spot, Brian Berger and Jeff Martin. So, Brian, I was getting to Valentine's Day, and basically, I don't want to talk about relationships, but it's just Valentine's Day, so I want to talk about relationships with your team. So not with your significant other. So I want to talk about relationships with your team. So is your relationship, I would say, is it on the rocks? Would it be a honeymoon kind of relationship? Are you newlyweds? Are you been married for 25 years? Are you... do you feel like you're being cheated on? How exactly do you feel right now about your sports teams? What is your relationship with your sports teams? And now, actually, once you hear this podcast, we would like to hear your feedback, and you can tweet us at High Spot Podcast. And that's a great little thing to interact with us, get a little feel of what you guys are thinking, because that's what we want to do. We want to start getting a feel of what you guys think. In this subject, again, what is your relationship with your sports team? And on a Valentine's Day, on a day where, you know, it's going to be bitterly cold in the 20s, maybe even might get to like 20 below this weekend, and you're cuddling up with your better half, and you're thinking, you know, everything's pretty good, But, God, I'm mad at the Mets. I'm mad at the 49ers. I'm mad at the world of sports. It doesn't have to be a team. It could be a player, an owner. And here in New York, we've had a lot of stuff with the owner. And but I just want to ask you a question. So a fan emails the owner of the Knicks, James Dolan. Okay, pretend you're the owner, and you see.
I'm already impressed. I'm the owner of the Knicks.
10-43, folks. So you're the owner of the Knicks, and you get an email from a fan who's been a fan for over 60 years, okay?
Okay.
And he says to you, I really don't like where the direction of the franchise is going. Hiring Phil Jackson was the right move, but you've consistently made bad move after bad move. You really have done a bad job since taking over for your father. This is an embarrassment, and as a 60-year-long Knicks fan, basically, I don't think you're doing a good job. That is the gist of the email, okay? And you're the owner. So what do? Do you let it go? Do you give it the old, you know, you want to tell them, go take that email and stick it up? Or do you do the customer service way and say, listen, we as Knicks appreciate your passion, and we will promise to do a better job in the future? What path would you take in this situation? And then we'll tell you what James Dolan decided to do.
Well, working in customer service, I've grown accustomed to the fact that you're going to have people that really don't like you, whether it's your fault or not. In this situation, you know, Dolan's a public figure right now, and I'm sure this isn't the first time he's heard things like this before. If I was the owner, I'm sure if you're the owner, general manager, head coach, even a top player in any team, you're going to get a lot of heat on you if you're not successful. And you're in a slump, and all the fingers point to you. You know, it's a thankless job. You don't get any of the praise, and when everything goes wrong, you get all the blame. In this case, if I was him, I'm so used to it. Why respond? When you respond,
exactly.
When you,
why respond?
When you respond to things like that, you're just encouraging. You're just putting fuel on the fire. You're just encouraging the type of behavior to continue. If you're not paying attention to it, you're ignoring it, which isn't easy.
You own Cablevision. You own a Madison Square Garden. You own the Knicks, the Rangers, Radio City Music Hall, the Beacon Theater, everything. It's a conglomerate corporation, and it's making money like crazy. It's a gold mine over there, even if the teams are bad or if one of the two are bad. So why not be the bigger person? Why let an email, which he probably gets tons of, why this one was so personal? I really don't understand.
Maybe just caught him at the right time.
Yeah,
mood.
That's what Dolan said. At the right time, he usually doesn't respond to these. But at this particular time, he thought it was so hateful that he thought he'd respond. Basically to the point where he told the fan, you know, listen, the Knicks don't need you. If you're going to feel this way towards the Knicks, you're better off rooting for the Nets. And basically also said to the point, is like, your life must be so awful that you have nothing better to do than send this email. And then, not only that, but basically calls the fan
calls
basically
him out.
A drunk. Yeah. No, he says, you must be an alcoholic. I've been sober for over 21 years. How about you? You must obviously be a drunk.
Well, when you reach those situations of gigantic, like, you're exploding, and like you said, he caught him at the right time, he was in the wrong mood, and he just exploded, you say a lot of things that, you know, maybe you feel were true, but, you know, you just want to get the person back for affecting you as much as they did, and that's what Dolan did. It wasn't the smartest thing to do. There's no rhyme or reason for it. I honestly think it shouldn't have gotten the publicity it's gotten. We understand public figures have to hold themselves in a higher regard. We've known that, whether we're talking about politics, we're talking about sports, we're talking about anything in general. When you are a public figure, like Jeff, you and I, we're going to become public figures, or we're trying to become public figures. It comes to the territory. So either you accept it or you know, get yourself out. Dolan, in this situation, you got himself caught in a wrong situation, shouldn't have done it, did it regardless. At the end of the day, we can sit here back and forth saying, you know, how can you call the guy an alcoholic? How can you speak to them in the tone of, you know, you know, we don't need you as a Knicks fan. Go be a Brooklyn Nets fan. It's just completely irrelevant to me at this point because it's just somebody expressing their feelings. Now, where I can kind of go to the side of the fan, because Knicks fans are all frustrated. All fans are frustrated with their teams to some extent, unless they're like the New England Patriots or your dynasty. So in this situation, everybody's not going to be happy. At the same time, you can't make everybody happy in this world. But in retrospect, it's something that's probably gotten more luster than it has in the last couple of days, and it'll eventually die down. In terms of the NBA and how they're supposed to, you know, regulate this, I don't know how you regulate this as commissioner. You want to send a message. You don't want to punish the owners too much because if you're the commissioner, they're the ones paying your checks. But at the same token, you want to make sure, and we've all talked about this before with the NFL, reputation, legitimacy, some type of way that the public views you. The NBA is a gigantic juggernaut as well, similar to the NFL. I wouldn't compare the two evenly, but they're very popular in their respects of the two popular sports here in the New York area. And
see, but the NFL, I think they laugh at you behind your back. They're like, we're taking your money, we're charging you PSLs, but they're not gonna like, no owner in the NFL is gonna tell a fan to just basically, you know, like, you know, buzz off. And really quick though, just to give credit, and we don't want to give this fan, they be a nameless fan, it was actually Irving Bierman, 73 years old. Why pick on a 73 year old man?
He's lived through a lot then. Lived through a lot of heartache and a lot of torture, and he probably reached his breaking point where, like, enough's enough.
And I'm sure a lot of Knicks fans have reached their tipping point because basically this team is about, you know, wake me up in 2016 when we try to get Kevin Durant, when we try to get players, and then Phil Jackson's actually going to show us something. He's capable of getting all these players, which supposedly that's the plan. But again, if you're, you know, Irving Bierman here, 73 years old, you're not expecting that the owner of the Knicks is going to reply and, like, basically, like, you know, tell you off.
I'm sure he was laying off some steam, some frustration, and just wanted to send it, never thinking.
Yeah, but pick on the 20-year-old fan, or pick on...
But what's the point of picking on... What's the difference between the 73-year-old and 23-year-old? Both are somewhat, I'm not trying to attack the fan.
Respect your elders, don't you think?
Okay, to what extent? The point I'm making is, why respond to anyone? Why is it? More,
I totally agree. With you.
Yeah, why is it more legitimate?
But
you respond
I'm telling
to the...
you though, I would if he's going to pick a fight with a 40-year-old guy that's on his level, but to pick on like an older guy, it's just the code. You just don't go there. Why go there? And James Dolan's done a lot of stupid stuff.
If all there are more people that live by your code, Jeff, this would be a lot better world.
But you know why go there? And he's made a lot of mistakes. And I would have been like, you know what, you're right. You know, we'll try to do better. But again, it's just brush it off. Don't answer it. I'm sure you get tons of those. And Dolan's response, he got caught in the wrong moment, and he won't apologize. He says it's over with. So if you're the commissioner, Adam Silver, in the NBA, and he's done a great job with the whole Donald Sterling fiasco, right? Would you think it's a punishable offense to talk that way to your fans? And he says, well, you know, it's just a passionate New Yorker, and James Dolan's passionate about his team, and it's basically not a league matter to the fact where he either gets fined or suspended. But here's where I disagree, because in any form of customer service, whether you perform a service, you can't battle with your fans. It's probably a battle you'll never win. But again, he is basically – what bothers me to the point is you're going to curse him out. Fine, but to insinuate and you're defamating his character by calling him a drunk, that's where the commissioner, I felt, dropped the ball, because he should have been fined. You just don't talk to your fans that way.
You could see it from both perspectives, though, Jeff. You're talking about how, you know, it negates or diminishes somebody's character when you're calling them an alcoholic or you're calling a fan that's a 73-year-old fan names. The same thing, and I'm not defending Dolan in any by any means, but when you have people every single day sending you emails, hate mails, Twitter accounts, death threats, I mean, and saying you're a moron and insulting your family, insulting your intelligence as a human being, that's defecating your character as well. And, you know, it works both ways. At the same time, I think Silver's just avoiding the fact because everything that's been going on here, he just doesn't want to deal with it. So he's treating this like the whole Brian Williams situation, hoping it just dies itself
okay,
down.
Okay, so here's the funny thing. You know I'm short-tempered. You know I like confrontation.
Oh,
you know, sometimes you
like
try to stop me.
I like to call it passion, but yeah, you're very short-tempered.
Right, short-tempered, right? Yeah. There's a short fuse. Okay, so you're telling me if he's receiving death threats and he's receiving, like, hate mail of various kinds through his Twitter, through a Facebook page, through emails, right?
I'm sure everyone gets that.
All right, so you get that. So you see a guy that says, hey, I want to, you know, death threats, or, you know what, if you were here, I would knock you the F out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, if I was the owner then, okay, that one would make me mad. Okay, if that would be my tipping point. So then I would email you back. You know what? Fine. Time, place, I'll meet you there. Let's see what you got, tough guy. It's easier saying it through the email than to my face, right?
Yeah.
That would be, you know, reasonable. You think that would be like, oh, okay, you know. But you don't want to go there as a higher figure. But if you do that, that's fine. But can I read you the email and see where his tipping point would be?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. At one stage, I thought, and this is from the fan, Irving Bierman. He goes, at one stage, I thought that you did a wonderful thing when you acquired everything from your dad, which is Charles Dolan, who is no longer with us. That is James Dolan's father. However, since then, it's been all downhill. You're working with Isaiah Thomas and everything else regarding the Knicks. Bringing on Phil Jackson was a positive beginning, but lowballing Steve Kerr was a disgrace to the Knicks. The bottom line is that you merely continue to interfere with the franchise, and that is what he wrote. And I do not see anywhere here where it would be a tipping point. And if not, then this guy's got anger issues and he's just going off on people, you know.
Again, it's a head scratcher because you're looking more at the fact that the email, you're looking for the wording in it. What we're trying to make, I think, the point you made before too, and you actually agreed with me here, and you kind of swerve the other way, which happens a lot. No, I'm joking. But
my girlfriend would say I swerve on the other way in cars too.
Exactly, both ways. But in this case, you're looking for specifics in the email to instigate anger. We've all been in situations too where the slightest thing, whether it be a tone in somebody's voice that was never supposed to be in any way an attacking demeanor, sets us off. And you being short-tempered as you are, and I'm not using that to attack you.
What do you mean?
Understand that aspect of it. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and I hate using that expression too, but in this case, it does apply. if we try to dissect this to the point, we're not going to get anywhere. It's just something that Dolan was obviously immature, you know. And in this situation, you are the head of an organization. You are in the public eye. You're always going to be criticized no matter what you do. Same thing for us. We'll be criticized for this podcast, whether people like the show or they don't like the show. It'd say, you know, Brian, you should, you know.
And you Twitter us, and if you have a problem, we'll meet you outside. Just exactly. Like, I'm going to have a problem with Brian later on, and we'll take it outside, and we'll duke it out.
Yeah.
And then I'll come in with two black guys. Yes.
Yeah. I'll be over in less than 5 minutes, and I'll feel sorry, and then, you know, send you some flowers.
But that's, well, Valentine's Day. You still have time maybe to send me some overpriced flowers.
I'll wait till Valentine's Day is
over. The
flowers during Valentine's Day are so overpriced. You know, if I send you flowers for giving you black eyes, I'd wait afterwards where it's actually a more affordable price.
So check this out, right? I want to send flowers, okay?
And which is the worst thing you do on Valentine's
right?
Day.
Right?
So cliche.
So cliche. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, flowers is still romantic at the workplace. I haven't done that yet. Okay, so I was wondering, I was picking the right time, okay, and I gave it some time. I was like, yeah, let me send flowers, okay? And not a huge deal. It's just a gesture, you know? And so I'm looking at you know, and then I'm looking at the price range that I want to get into. It is tough times so far in the economy. So, you know, you got to give me that. So
for all of us, it's tough.
It is. So I'm checking the price. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. And then they get you at the checkout. They get you at the checkout. Oh, do you want it by this certain time? Boom, extra fee. Oh, do you want to put, you know, chocolates in a bear and all these add-ons?
And you're
customer
like, yeah,
service.
Sure, why not? You know,
sure, it can't be. And then the shipping and the handling, and then making the handling of your flowers. And the next thing you know, you're spending in the triple digits, and you're like, wait a minute, what happened there?
That's where they get you every time, man.
So
they never give you a set price. They're like, this is a price. Hey, you know, spend $5. And before you know it, you're adding little things here and there, thinking, oh, it's not going to add up to much. And before you know it, you're paying $55, $65 more than what you wanted to. So
it's like you go to a nice dinner, you can get a gift maybe, and it's the same price for flowers that'll die in 3-4 days. I think it's more like the act of like them seeing, you know, around and everyone's saying, oh, she got flowers and stuff like that, and being center of attention for a little bit.
Well, here's my thing on that subject. And again, if you want to do that to be romantic and to be kind.
Well, I wanted to, but these guys are so overpriced.
No, but if you're going to go through with it and try to figure out some other way of doing it, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you know, cheesy romantic, you know, we're both raised in the extent that, you know, we want to be romantic. Chivalry
yeah,
is not
sure.
dead with us, although it's dead in most of the world. But the funny thing that you're mentioning too, if you want to do a gesture like that, and I've known a lot of people that have done that as well. A lot of it's more for the fact that women like to get that, for the fact that to show up other women. Oh, my man, look at him. He's sending me this gigantic bouquet of roses.
Sometimes.
And actually, if you're in the guy's mindset, why would you ever want to do that? Because now you're making every other person who has a girlfriend in that office or wherever you're sending to workplace.
It's an ego thing for
even
the guy.
More.
Because you want, you know, not only is it a gesture towards the girlfriend.
I feel it's more obligated than anything. For me, I feel like if somebody said, you know, that'd be sweet, you're obligating me to do it. Like, if I'm going to do it for you, I'm going to do it because I don't want to show up to everybody and show, you know, how lucky you are to have a guy like me. No, you should already know that, which is probably why I don't have a girlfriend now. So the whole thing with Valentine's Day is a very iffy thing with me. It's not a bitterness thing that I don't have a girlfriend and I can't celebrate Valentine's, but it's been so commercialized, man. And honestly, you and I have talked about this before countless times, countless years, countless Valentine's Day. Now it's a special one because it's here on the high spot. So one day a year. Values out of 364 days to prove
true,
that I love
so
you.
Oh, true, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I hear women, I say that all the time, and a lot of women come to me like, that's such a typical guy thing to say, and I revert back to them, that's such a typical girl thing to say, because you know, you put so much emphasis on that, that women actually break up with their boyfriends because of the stress, or because they have not lived up because of the one day, whether they're working, or whether they're doing something, or they didn't get them a card, or a big enough box of chocolates, or roses, you don't love me, so you know this day doesn't mean anything to you. Oh, so your birthday doesn't count, Christmas doesn't count, you know, our
anniversaries
don't count, you know.
Yeah, but
that I put a ring on your finger symbolizes my love for you, and just because I don't give you a card on Valentine's Day or a rose, I'm a bad guy. So it's so commercialized.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. You know, you're right. But mine was at a nice gesture. And, you know, I was like, you know, due to do some kind of a flower deed because it's long overdue.
Now, if you were to do that without it being Valentine's Day, then that's a different story.
Yeah. Oh, no, but
you're,
Valentine's
you're
Day,
you're doing it out of your way.
Yeah. It's a scam on these websites. You're better off just going personally getting flowers, and then but you got to deliver it.
I'm better off growing my own roses in my garden and then just getting
them
there.
You have a garden?
I could have a garden.
Well, with the weather now, they'd probably all be dead.
Yeah, but again, that would give me something else to do out of the million other things I have in my to-do list. Hey, Brian, why don't you just add to the list number 2042, make a greenhouse? Yeah, why not? I'll do that.
So basically, so it's about relationships. We talked about the ones with a significant other, but it's with your sports teams. And James Dolan, again, 2016, we will find out if his hiring of Phil Jackson paid off. We will see if the Kevin Durants of the world will come to Madison Square Garden. We'll see if it was worth it. We'll see if he can fix the relationship with his fans. Remember last year before they hired Phil Jackson, there was people that were getting ready to go up to MSG and, you know, pull an Idzik and try to, like, protest at MSG. And then Dolan was able to hire Phil Jackson even before that protest, and so nothing came of it. But, again, we will see, you know, if he can fix that relationship. But how are you with your sports teams? How are you feeling?
Well, that you brought up a really interesting point there, Jeff. I'm glad you did, because a very intense relationship when anybody lives vicariously to their sports team. I think when you're young, like I was, I didn't really understand it. You just wanted your team to win. When they lost, you felt really bad because you don't think your team should ever lose. I'm sure every kid or person thinks that way. Then you get a little bit older, and then like you're so intense with your teams, the fact that you live and die by them. So if they lose, don't talk to me. Don't say anything to me. If you're against my team, oh, we're going to get into a fight in the parking lot, you know, which, you know, you can relate to because you're very passionate. You're short-tempered that way. But as I've gotten older, it's kind of like you mentioned before, it's like a marriage. I've been married for about, you know, 22 years to the same team, and it's more of a numbing feeling now. Like I've told you before, and you've always spoken to me about your frustrations with the Mets, your frustrations with the Jets, and you're like, well, you know, you're a Yankee fan, you're a Giant fan, you have two Super Bowls. Yes. So it's like that relationship, you know, it's exciting in the beginning. It's new at first, and then it's really exciting towards the middle, and then it becomes kind of, I wouldn't say ordinary, but you're kind of used to it now. It becomes more
like
stable.
Like a marriage, like when you're like
it's
10
like a
years
marriage.
Into a marriage.
It's like a marriage. So I am so torn right now for the fact that my favorite hockey team, which I love with a passion, is the New Jersey Devils. And the season they're having right now, and we don't talk a lot about hockey. Hockey isn't really talked a lot about right now because it's not a popular sport.
We will in the playoffs. Unfortunately, it's a playoff sport.
It is. And it's the only sport that I know that a lot of people say you have to watch it live in order to appreciate it. The TV doesn't do it justice the way they do it or the way they broadcast it. They try to do a great job on ESPN, which I thought they never should have left. And now they're on NBC Sports. But at that time, I'm in a situation with the general manager of the Jersey Devils, Mr. Lou Lamoriello. He's been there since I was a little kid, and they've had so much success. And now you're seeing the last couple seasons, they're struggling. And the fact that they have done a horrible job, which a lot of teams do, of replenishing their roster and making sure that, you know, when their stars are gone or through trades or free agency or just because of age, that they have people to replace them. And this team has had a horrible, I would say, 5-6 seasons already. And they missed the playoffs already for about – they're going to miss the playoffs again for another, I think, third consecutive year. It comes to the point in a relationship when you reach that point and you're like, okay, you know, I know what it was like before in the past, but now the reality is this. And now it becomes to the point of what's going to happen next.
Yeah, basically,
do you know, break it off now, or do you say – got to give it another chance. I don't know. I don't know what you do from there.
Basically, what
Jeff
it is.
Jeff found that funny.
Well, no, your Shawn Michaels comes out of you when you say that, and your Shawn Michaels.
I always talk like this. What are you talking about?
That's why I laugh. But the funny thing is, though, it's like a marriage. So you got a hot wife.
My
in the
eyes
beginning.
Are crooked, though, right?
No. Okay. No. You're still looking at me, and it's like a wife. She's hot in the beginning, and you know, and then all of a sudden she wears those nice dresses, the nice tight pants, and you're like, wow. And then all of a sudden you get comfortable, and then, you know, you let yourself go, she lets herself go, and you don't look at the person the same way, like, yeah, I married this, or, oh, what's going on here? That's the conflict you're going on with the devils right now, because it's been a beautiful ride.
And you've just disconnected yourself from it.
Oh, I have. It's tough. It's tough to watch. Like
because believe it or not, folks, Jeff was the first person that introduced me to all the sports teams, but the first team he really introduced me to was the New Jersey Devils. So it's kind of weird and interesting in my perspective, because I still watch them. I don't watch them every day because, you know, when you're younger, you can watch them every day because I have a school. And then when you're working 24/7 like Jeff and I do, it's kind of hard to watch things live and you kind of watch replays. Jeff's been very distant. He hasn't really watched the Devils.
I maybe watched
game.
Like...
Sporadically, you haven't watched the full game.
Yeah, I caught the game last night. And
so what's your feeling in that relationship? Have you broken off? Are you on a break or separation?
I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah?
I'm going to wait and see, because yesterday I had it on for like 10 minutes getting dressed, and they refuse to look at the situation where the team has not scored in the longest time. They refuse to address it. They think that the team mentality that, you know, what's worked in the 90s and early 2000s is what's going to work in this new NHL. And it's frustrating. Same thing with the Mets. They still continue to be cheap. You know, they still continue to go bargain basement shopping. There's a simple answer in Everett Cabrera, who is a free agent right now, to play shortstop and can answer your leadoff hitter and your shortstop situation. And you sign him to one year deal, and if he doesn't do anything, you just wipe your hands and say, okay, didn't work out. That's what's frustrating. Same thing with the Nets. You know, they have a bunch of fat cats there, and now they mortgaged away their future, and they're not going to be good for a long time. It's frustrating, and the same thing with the Devils. It's frustrating, especially when the team doesn't see it, and they refuse to change their ways. And you're frustrated. So I took a step back, and wait and see. I will never root for another team. I'll never dislike that team, but I'm taking a wait and see.
Would you ever be one of these fans that I come in contact with from time to time that actually root against their team?
No. See, here's
for
the funny
like a
thing,
draft
right?
pick or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Sometimes you're like, well, here's the point. Here's the point about tanking. And maybe back in the day, it really wasn't made such a known as it was now. You see the Sixers.
I'm sure teams knew. Or
but
like
they didn't make
doing,
it as public.
It wasn't as public,
and,
yeah.
with the media now putting an emphasis, oh, they're tanking, or the art of tanking to get the number one pick and everything like that. And just with more sports talk shows, everyone has an opinion. So you're going to hear this stuff. Everyone's got to go to a different angle and talk about stuff. So the idea of tanking. Here's my view on tanking, which I think it has been really bad for the NBA and for the NHL. You don't know because, you know, it's more of a team sport. There's like, you know, there's like 23 guys there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be tough for all of them to tank. But
unless you're the Edmonton Oilers, which they're great at doing that, have so many number one picks and still haven't gotten themselves out of
it's horrible
a
management.
Situation.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, I don't agree with it. But the point is, if the team is, like, look at the Devils. They're, what, like 15 points from a playoff spot or so?
About 12 points, yeah.
Okay. Like, and there's a point where, like, okay, so what does winning these meaningless games, because that's what they become. That's why I'm not going to pay my money to go see the team right now, because I don't feel like they're addressing the situation. But if they're meaningless games right now, and you want to see they're not even putting in the young players. Okay, so if they're going to do that and then they're going to come out and win a couple of games, in the long run, what does that help you out with draft picks? For morale? That's crap. I don't believe in morale. There are no moral victories in my mind. Okay, so my idea is if they're going to be bad, then they might as well tank. They might as well not purposely lose, but, you know, listen, don't make the full attempt to do that. And it sounds wrong. It sounds wrong because the idea when you're born is win the game, and it sounds wrong for me to say it, but that's the mentality now.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game, but
like Herman Edwards said,
but as far as business aspect, and the Devils are a business,
and all sports
what do you
are
do?
Business now.
What do you do? What is your idea? I know you've told me you're like, yeah, Devils actually won a game, and I'm like, yeah, what's the point? It's lesser a draft choice.
No, yeah, I mean,
and you look at me like, oh, really? And I understand where you're coming from.
Will they find
themselves
in a situation too that they were to lose every game now from this point on to the end of the season. I think they have about maybe less than 30 games left, probably. It's not going to get them any better draft position anyway. They're kind of stuck in limbo anyway. So it's like, they won a game. Hey, yeah, more kind of just like, hey, it's nice to see your team win. But yeah, no, I understand it. You know, it's a business aspect of it. But in terms of tanking, it's not that I'm against tanking. Maybe it's just I'm not going to bring my own ethics into it because I just don't believe. I think no matter what you do, like, for example, you're an athlete, right? You're getting paid to do a job. And so regardless of the fact whether you're in last place and you have no wins or you're undefeated, you're going to play to win because that's your job. You're paid to do that. In terms of organizational or as a business, I think, you know, teams always, or coaches or, you know, general managers or whoever, always the head office guys always try to encourage players. You still have to win. You know why? Because it's more of a cultural thing.
And what I
don't want to bring that type of mentality into your locker room where now, you know,
true,
if
true.
We're good, you but, know, but if we reach a certain point in the season, we're not good, okay, let's just tank again. But you don't want that mentality.
But you
want
to give the fan hope. If they have a top pick, then there is hope. So, yes, there is the fan perspective, the business side, and there's also the mentality for the players. The players don't want to tank. They don't want to purposely lose because they might not be here next year, so that pick is meaningless.
Yeah.
You talk about it in the hockey. I think it's less in hockey than any sport.
No, yeah.
Okay, basketball, it's evident. Look at the Sixers. Look at the Knicks. Carmelo is going to play a meaningless all-star game, and then he is which we'll get into that, actually. A meaningless all-star game. Again, shut it down. And it's to the Knicks' best interest that he does that so they can get a first pick. Now, if you think the NBA is going to help with the history of the Knicks, if you think the NBA is going to help out the Knicks get the number one pick, it's only a 25% chance. And that's the funny thing. It's only a 25% chance.
And that's the thing that they tried to do to negate teams from doing that, but they still do it because
they want to get more
ping pong balls to have a better opportunity. It's like playing Powerball.
They need
to
find another solution because
there's no chance.
For a 25% chance, they're willing to give up on a season. It's 82 games. It's not football where it's just 82 games for 6 months. You got to watch that.
Yeah. I understand. And the funny thing is, you even said NBA but does the, that
what,
more.
But what do Knicks fans say now on sports radio? What are you hearing? Oh, well, you know, the season's thrown away. Thrown away? You tell somebody in 1972, in 1980, we're going to throw away this season. They're going to look at you like, what?
No,
this is the culture that we live in now.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Like, and you and I have always talked about before, like, pitchers, they pitch the full game. You know, why do I have so many relievers now? And, you know, you pay a guy how many dollars guaranteed he can go four innings? And honestly, and that's it? And it's ridiculous. And at the end of the day, it is a business. But in terms of tanking and all those things, that to me, ethically, I don't believe in it. If I was a coach or a player, I wouldn't, regardless of how bad the situation is. You always want to do your best. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of being a fan and having a relationship with a team, that's probably the most difficult part of having a relationship with a team and seeing it all the way. Diehard fans, which we are diehard fans and true diehard fans since you're a kid, you'll never waver, ever. You'll always be behind your team through the good times and the bad times.
The Jets lost so bad.
Like a match till death do us part.
The Jets lost so bad. Okay, and they were talking about Mariota and Winston getting the number one pick. That's all the fans had. And then when Rex Ryan wins these meaningless games and they're giddy because they won a game, and you see these guys, they're like, "Why didn't you do this all the whole season?" You get upset, and now you have the sixth pick. You're probably not going to be able to. Maybe you get Mariota because he's dropping right now, but you're not going to get Cooper. So again, as a Jet fan, I'm miffed. And you know what the funny thing is? I bet you that people tell you, why are you still rooting for these teams? Come be this fan. Come be a fan of this team.
Oh, yeah. Get that all the time.
I get a ton. Listen, Jets, Nets, Mets. And trust me, they tell me a million times, why do you put yourself through that? I can't help it.
Yeah, I don't think you can't help the team.
Till death do us part.
I think you can't help it. It is the way it is.
But relationships on Valentine's Day on the High Spot, a very special one because we are talking about relationships. Everything is relationship concerned. And Brian's relationship with the NBA is going to be in question because I'm going to ask Brian. The All-Star Game is in our backyard at MSG. Will Brian watch the game tomorrow? Is Brian going to sit on his couch and watch the skills competition tonight? Is he going to be riveted for the three-point shooting contest? We're going to find out. We will talk about the NBA All-Star Game, Carmelo Anthony, on a very special Valentine's Day. You'll listen to The High Spot, Jeff Martin, and Brian Berger.
And we are back here on The High Spot. I'm Brian Berg, along with my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, on the other side. We were talking previously about Valentine's Day, your relationship, not with your significant other, but with your team, and it got me all depressed. I'm sure it got Jeff depressed as well. I mean,
the weather is depressing. That's what's depressing.
Yeah, I mean,
we
got to
go out in this weather.
I think that just adds on to it, Jeff. Yeah, the weather is completely irrelevant right now. If you're working like we are 24/7, we're not even outside ever. You know, we're only going outside to go from place to place here. But folks, you're listening to The High Spot, and Jeff couldn't have picked the worst topic in the first segment. I say that lovingly and jokingly, since it is Valentine's Day, lovingly gets thrown around, but I mean it. And also, we're going to be talking about one probably my least favorite sports in the world, but I know it's popular around the world. And the reason why I say it's my least favorite is just because I'm just so disconnected from it. You want to talk about being disconnected from terms of tanking and a business, in terms of do you still stay with your team? Do you not stay with your team?
Sitting players,
all this stuff is, to me, the epitome of what the NBA is like. The All-Star Game's coming up. When I was younger, you think All-Star Games back
fun.
In the day.
You'd see a player.
Here I'm dating myself, Jeff, back in the day.
You could see Jordan, Magic, Bird.
Exactly. You'd see all these great players, and you'd be like, wow, look at this amount of talent. You know, I remember I saw my first Gatorade commercial. I wanted to be like Mike. I really did, and I practiced every day, and you know, Gatorade didn't make me better. Or it would get those Nike pumps, you know, think they make
the Reebok pumps.
I thought they were Nike. Yeah. They thought they make you jump higher. So all those things are always exciting, especially around the NBA All-Star Game or any All-Star Game to begin with. But this one I could barely care for. I don't even care it's in New York.
It's in our backyard.
I honestly didn't even know it was in New York.
No, wow.
And then yesterday I was at the gym, and I was looking through all the TV screens because they always have ESPN or something like that on, and I saw the celebrity game.
See Kevin Hart? You see what happened to Kevin Hart?
Yeah, he was defending a girl, and she
Monet Davis from the Little League team.
Yeah, she did
summer.
A spinorama on him and completely almost like he almost broke his ankles. He's falling backwards. It was hilarious. But again, you expect that from him.
I don't know.
But he was the only guy. No.
He took it like a man.
He took it like a man. It was a great move by her. She's a very skilled athlete. Not only in baseball.
That was funny.
Yeah. I mean, so many jokes could be thrown there. I'm sure there's a lot of trash talking about that as well on the bench for both teams. But, you know, Kevin Hart, he was playing like it was like NBA Final Game 7.
I think he won the MVP again.
He did win the MVP, but I saw a couple of times when he had some possession. He was just taking the ball from one end of the court to the other, and he was like trying to be like Rajon Rondo or Tony Parker and like trying to like juke and go around and go underhand. It was fun to watch.
So if you were playing in this game and Justin Bieber was guarding you, how hard would you run at him?
I'd just charge him. I'd be ejected the first minute.
It's your opportunity.
It'd be the first minute. The tip of the ball, I'd be ejected. Because I just, you know, don't like the guy. No, in jest, I say, don't know Justin Bieber. Don't know Justin Bieber, so I can't say it. Yeah, Jeff's trying to put words in my mouth. You know what? Talk about Dolan, right? Jeff's pretty high-tempered, and Justin Bieber hasn't done anything to him. And yet he's upset. But, you know, going back to the All-Star game, like I said, I saw Celebrity Game. It was somewhat entertaining for what, you know, the short moments I saw of it. Also, there's a Snoopy Valentine's Day Peanut Gang. I was watching that on the TV. There's no audio.
Valentine though. Charlie Brown.
Exactly. I didn't DVR it, unfortunately, but whatever. You know, we'll come back next year.
So
care about the Christmas one.
If you DVR'd that, mm-hmm. would you? And the All Star Game was playing. You'd be watching.
I'd be watching
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how bad it is.
No, you're right. You know, they don't play any defense. It's just. All-Star games to me have lost its appeal just because they don't play defense.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing, and didn't mean to cut you off there, but one thing that did tick me off, though, is when I was watching it when I was at the gym, you saw Carmelo Anthony laughing and joking with...
Oh, he was like one of the coaches.
He was one of the coaches sitting there.
Oh, my God.
And just having a great time. I'm like, okay, well, you're supposed to be hurt and injured, and you know, you're having a great time. He's entitled to that, but I'm like, come on. Did you really have to show up at that game?
Well, he's the ambassador of New York. He's the ambassador of the 10-43 Knicks.
Some ambassador.
That is what basketball... How bad is the basketball situation in New York?
It's pretty bad. I mean...
It is
even awful. Even when the Nets were in New Jersey and they're still part of the metropolitan area, it was still pretty bad. I mean, you would think, honestly, that people would want to come to the city because everybody talks about it's the Mecca.
Anyone says the Mecca, I'll fight you.
Yeah,
you say
exactly.
It's the Mecca. It's
been
the
said
Mecca
time and time again, exactly as Jeff said. And nobody wants to play here. Nobody wants to. It's so special, the metropolitan area and sports teams, then why is it so damn difficult to get people to play on these teams? I'm not even talking about basketball now. I'm talking
about
general sports in general. Everyone wants to be here. They can't stand the media.
You know what the funny thing is? In NFL, you see these guys make the All-Star team. I think you should get rid of the Pro Bowl. I think you just name the players, give them a little plaque. Hey, I'm a Pro Bowler. And that's it. There should be no game for that. It's awful. It's just awful.
I still like the skills competitions, though, they do. Like with the quarterback challenge and, you know.
Yeah, but they shouldn't play
but,
the game.
No, yeah, I don't care.
Okay, NHL, if you want to see 15-10, 15-12, okay. I don't want to see that. Okay, NBA. Actually, NBA is the only All-Star game where they've actually been fighting to get into it. Because why? Oh, of course. In the me athlete, they have clauses in their contracts where escalating money, it's all about money. So you have Damian Lillard, who was so upset about not playing the All-Star game or being selected as a reserve that he played a couple bad games, one against the Atlanta Hawks, and just had like a miserable week. So they actually care about going here. Why? Money. Because it's a chance for their shoe company to display their brand new shoe.
Don't NFL players get bonuses for making the Pro Bowl?
No, they do too. Okay. No, but here, though, the thing is, though, if you're hurt, then some other guy will take your spot. Okay. Then the other guy won't show up to take your spot. Here in the NBA, though, I've just heard a lot of gripe of not making the All-Star game because in football, there's so many roster spots available that, you know, if one or two people don't get in, it's not that much of a big deal. When you're dealing with like 12 to 13 roster spots in the NBA and you have like the Western Conference, which is stacked, then a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you know, this guy should be in. This guy should. Look, the Hawks have four players on their team. You're not telling me there's another NBA player in the Eastern Conference that's worthy? No, because the Eastern Conference sucks. So there's a discord there.
That's a pretty accurate statement.
Exactly. So it just in the NBA, they want to get in this game. So
Again, it's for money, yeah. But any other reason why, I don't know why they would want to be part of this game.
And then Carmelo Anthony wants to be in this game so bad. Here's a guy that's been hurt, signed the extension with the Knicks this past offseason, and so far it's been a nightmare. 10-43, they're about to maybe buy out Amari Stoudemire, so you know that tanking is on their mind. They want Okafor with the first pick, because if after that, then Phil Jackson would actually have to do homework, because who would you draft second or third? So they're looking at the number one pick. So Carmelo Anthony, though, has his knee problem, and he wants to play. He hasn't been playing in Knick games, and now he's talking about shutting it down after the All-Star game. What is that? How more can the fans have a discord with players than in the NBA?
Well, like how you said, he wanted to be ambassador at the Celebrity All-Star game. I think he wanted to be representing the New York Knicks.
And try to get players in, recruiting players.
And he even said, too, even if I just walk out there and wave, you know, at least, you know, it's good for the fans. Do the fans really care if Carmelo Anthony plays or not? I mean, it's always great when you're in an All-Star game and your team is being represented. Yeah, that's cool, right? You want them
to
do good.
They care if you weren't 10-43.
Yeah, but at the same time, what does it matter? I mean, and then you're just taking a spot away from somebody else. So there should be some resentment on other players. Like, hey, why is Carmelo in this game right now when I could be in and making some more money? He's just being selfish. He should just back out. He's injured. He can't play. He's going to be on the bench. How many minutes is he going to take? Is he just going to sub in when there's like 5 seconds left in the quarter just to kind of sub in? Quarter expires, and then boom, he's back on the bench again? Makes no sense. That's why this league makes no sense. The NBA now doesn't make any sense to me, and maybe I'm the only one who feels that way. Maybe there are others that feel the way I do. The All-Star game, everything the NBA does right now, I can't even get into the finals anymore because to me it's like, oh, yeah, San Antonio's going to win it. There's never any variety in it. There's never any team like, hey, and I was kind of a fan of Golden State for a little bit. I was like, hey, you know, I like to see Golden State how far they would go.
There's some teams in the NBA I would watch. Golden State is one of them.
Because they're actually a team. So, I don't know. To answer your question, Jeff, and not to be long-winded here, but I'm not looking forward to this. I don't understand. I understand the appeal of the NBA to people in terms of business, too, and marketing and advertising, but I just don't enjoy watching. I'd rather watch college basketball, which I'm looking forward to, because March is right around the corner, and the college basketball tournament will be coming up. And that's actually exciting, because the teams play for one thing that these players lost a long time ago, and that's pride.
And what I don't buy from the NBA is you're going to have a great playoff series, and maybe a finals team in Golden State, right? And then what if, for example, the Atlanta Hawks make it to the NBA Finals? This is what bothers me, is that the NBA is going to be like, oh boy, we got Atlanta Hawks and the Golden State Warriors. Not because of the teams, the two best teams right now, the markets. What are their ratings going to be, too? So Brian will not be watching the NBA All-Star festivities because now it's a drawn-out four-day event. So I guess Brian will not be watching the three-point contest tonight. He will not be watching the slam dunk competition. He will not be watching the skills challenge. And he most definitely will not be watching the All-Star game right in the backyard here in New York City. And as far as Carmelo Anthony, I mean, to shut it down after the All-Star game and to focus on getting ready just to play 2 minutes in a game because you want to, you know, show off your new shoes coming out for the second half of the season. You know, it's the discord that we have with the NBA and the players. And congratulations to LeBron James, who was voted for the vice president of the players union. Congratulations.
That's great.
Congratulations. But there's so much discord that I have with those NBA players. Yes, there are some teams that I like, but other than that, NBA is far, far on the totem pole as being my favorite sport.
Well, Jeff, I'm a little disconnected now. You know,
disconnected, that's the word.
How other leagues are trying to make the All-Star game somewhat relevant. We have Major League Baseball making it now. You know, whoever wins the All-Star game, that league now has home field advantage. Is that even existent in the NBA? I'm asking as a question because I really don't know.
No. It doesn't happen.
Would it matter if it was?
No.
You would have home court advantage regardless of your record?
No, because as much as are being sports purists, the NBA All-Star game is actually popular between, you know, like basketball people. So I don't think they need to add, like, winner gets the home field, home court advantage. So I don't think that's necessary. But again, the NBA, I personally cannot get drawn into the All-Star game. It's just the players aren't the same. It's not having a Jordan and a Pippen and a, you know, Magic Johnson and those players in their prime. That's basketball. That's basketball at its purest.
Yeah, and I'm not even disagreeing with the fact that the quality of the sport has even diminished because they're a very talented player. I mean, you have Kevin Durant, LeBron James. These are the only ones that I know off the top of my head that are very elite players. Obviously, LeBron is not playing as well as he did when he was in Miami or previously when he was first with
Cleveland.
Yeah, but
He's played better.
He's been dealing with situations of injuries. But again, it's just the effort. I don't see it there. And players will defend themselves saying, I'm trying hard and I'm playing hard. But again, it's just, like you said, it's not the same. So why am I going to bother watching something that I know it's not going to be worth the effort and my time to do it?
So you ready to play some quick hits after the break?
I'm always ready for good hits.
Valentine's Day edition of Quick Hits. Brian Berger.
Jeff Martin. Coming back.
High spot.
All right, folks, we're back here on the High Spot. Brian Berger, Jeff Martin. It is now time for Quick Hits, where we take everything that we haven't talked about now and we bring it to you in a rapid fire type of fashion. And I guess we find a little bit more of whether we're more knowledgeable than we think we are. I don't know. This is a special Valentine's Day edition, so when it comes to love and relationships, and I am no expert, folks.
So we're going to keep it to relationships.
Jeff, and he has a girlfriend.
I know. No one's going to ask me. None of us are experts.
No. Develop a manual for women.
I'm always making a mistake here and there. I'm no expert.
I am a mistake.
Brian.
You're not supposed to laugh at that. You're supposed to say
sympathy. No, Brian,
you're not. Stop saying that about yourself. You're a great guy. He laughs, folks. Wow. I feel the love now.
You know I love you, bro. Dude. Need a hug.
Dude. Okay.
Let's make
a good point there. Though.
Let's get to Quick Hits. Brian, of course, Jim Harbaugh.
I'm really interested in this right now.
Because
it's a special edition, so...
Well, we are focusing on relationships. Yeah. So Jim Harbaugh recently spoke out when asked about the 49ers, saying, did you leave them? He basically said, no, I did not leave the 49ers. They left me. A lot of course rumors were circulating during the year that there was just the GM and Jim Harbaugh were not getting along and that was a marriage that was heading for divorce. And what do you think? Do you think... Now that Jim Harbaugh has spoken out, do you think it's bitter grapes? Or do you think that, you know what, he's finally coming out and telling the truth of what really happened there?
Never heard
his side of the story.
Boy, I'm in trouble now. There are always two sides to a story. But in this case, I don't really see it as bitter grapes. I see it more as, okay, I'm no longer on a contract. I could say whatever I want now. It's kind of like a breakup, right? You try to mutually be very respectful and kind and be very... adult and separate and go your separate ways. And then when people ask you about it, that's when the dirty laundry comes in any relationship. Harbaugh knew it was coming and he just was staying quiet, was trying to be very respectful because, again, he was under contract. And then when it was all over, in the end, they told me they wanted me out and I didn't really want to go, but they didn't want me anymore. So that's why I left. It wasn't because I was leaving the team or leaving my players. No, they showed me the door and they said,
goodbye.
And I did. In a relationship.
It's tough.
You're done.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We all want to know what Harbaugh was thinking. Now he's the new coach of Michigan and the Wolverines, so he goes on to the Big Ten, and everyone's looking forward to his clashes with Urban Meyer and Ohio State. That's going to be classics. Hey, listen. Jim Harbaugh, we wanted to hear what his story was. The whole season he was saying, no, I'm not talking about it. There's no problems, whatever. So obviously there was a problem because you don't get rid of a good coach like that. You just didn't see eye to eye. Like, you don't see eye to eye with your, you know, with your girlfriend or your wife. You don't see eye to eye, and there's a point where you clash and it just doesn't work anymore. So they break it off amicably, according to the 49ers.
But there was
pure animosity between the two.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of hostility there. On both sides, you can tell.
50 Shades of Grey debuts tonight. Now, there's been a lot of pre-screenings. There were special ones.
Now, why would that be something you
would
think would
interest me? Because it's Valentine's Day. Because I want to get your take.
On the movie?
No. Girls love this. It's a series of books, and I've been taught.
There's more than one?
Yes. I've been taught about this, okay? There's three from what I've been told, from what I've been taught.
So you've been educated on
it. I've been educated, and I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, see if you would ever do this. Right. Now.
Don't like where this is going, okay. But
so it's a series of books, very sexual, very descriptive, and girls, women, they dig this. So they made it. So of course they're making the movie. Would you ever take your girlfriend, or would you ever let her get you into being interested in 50 Shades of Grey?
And again, I'll revert back to the fact that this is why I'm single. No, I wouldn't.
Really?
There's one thing with as we call it chick flicks, but something like this, no, I'm not gonna go see it. I mean, why? Because to me, part of a relationship is, why would I do something that I don't want to do? I mean, we all have to make sacrifices in relationships, folks, where we do things that we're uncomfortable with and do things we don't want to do. But if it's a make or break that I need to see this movie with you because you want to see it because it's Valentine's Day, and oh, how appropriate that this movie came out during Valentine's Day. I wonder what genius thought of that idea. Well, no, I'm not going to go see it. You want to go see it with your girlfriends? Go ahead. And if by some reason she sees it and then ends up with some other guy, then, you know, it wasn't meant to be, or you know, it's a good thing I didn't go with you.
If she watches the movie and she comes home to you, because sometimes girls want to go with their friends and stuff like that. They don't want to go with the guy. Sometimes they want to go with the guy. If you're with your girlfriend, you know you're going to get some when you get home.
Yeah, what I'm going to get, I don't know. Something, yes. What, I don't know. So,
but, Brian, like, okay,
that'd
so,
be similar
so
like
she
when
goes,
I, that's similar if a guy goes to a strip club, right? And, like, after they go to a strip club, I'm going to rush back home because I want to see my girlfriend or wife and the fires are burning inside me. But, you know, that's not 100% certain. I mean, statistically speaking, I wouldn't know the numbers specifically of – I know the books are popular, but again, so are Harry Potter books, so are Star Wars books, so are all these fantasy books, you know, whether it be, you know, mythical characters or, in this case, a lot of sexuality. Yeah, they're popular, but do a lot of women tend to, like, look at – and I've never read it, and I've only heard from, you know, hearsay. You've told me a little bit about it.
You saw the trailers. We've seen the trailers.
I saw the trailers, and I knew the concept of what it was about, the books and stuff like that, because, you know, they talked about the books before the movie ever came out. I'm like, okay, well, it's about, you know, the type of, you know, bondage type of relationship. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, is this kind of like a hidden thing where women don't want to admit they like it, but they really do? I never understood that.
This is how bad it was. I thought 50 Shades Grey was really about the color. I was
so
curious.
You went in?
No. This is from way back in the beginning when it started to be popular. I was like, okay, it's a color, and totally didn't see the meaning with the word gray and all, you know, all the you know, hidden innuendo with what that meant. So I had no idea. So that's how uneducated I was about the books. But I will tell you this, guys.
Well, I kind of
if you suck up
it,
your manhood. Yeah. No, go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead.
If you suck up your manhood and you actually go, because I went Thursday. And you suck up your manhood and you're open to it. You're like, yeah, it's not a bad movie.
So you saw it?
Yeah, so I saw it. Saw it on Thursday night. And
what kind of review would you give it?
Again, from not – see, some people like reading the book and then go and see the movie and then compare. And, you know, went with my girlfriend and she had seen the – she had read the books religiously. And, you know, she did her comparison to see her critique. And some of the stuff wasn't in the movie. So I'm going from the movie. Mm-hmm. So I had no problem with it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. I could see why women would be drawn to it. It does – How can I say it? It does, for example, feed the appetite of that sort of
desire.
Yeah. So
let me ask you this: watching the movie, are you now curious to see? I wonder what the books are like. Or no, it hasn't reached that point where you're like, yeah, the movie is. It told its story. I get the gist of it, and I don't really need to further investigate. You know. What was behind it, you know, because any story that's first written in a book and it's put in on the movie screen never lives up to the book. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it surpasses it very few times. And sometimes, majority of the times, it doesn't. And so a lot of people are like, oh, now I saw, for example, The Hunger Games. I'm not trying to get off top there. The Hunger Games are a very popular book. And people watching like, wow, it's so much like it. Or no, now that I watched The Hunger Games and never read the books, now I want to go back and read the books because I want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff or the more information, you know, whatever, you know, of characters or more development that I didn't see in the movie because there's only so much you can do in a three. How long was the movie? Was it like 3 hours, 2 hours?
About 2.5 hours tops.
Okay. Usually movies like based on books are like tend to be very long. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is basically is give it a shot. Don't be again. You're not sucking. I'm not gonna say suck up your manhood, but I'm just saying, just you know, go be open minded and have a good time. 2.5 hours, and it was fine. We went on Thursday, and again, open minded, and I had no problem with it. So guys, you know, be that guy. The girl wants to go see it. Watch it tonight. A lot of babies will be made tonight on February 14th. If I were to get, you know, it's a continuation.
Do you think that's a given in Valentine's Day? That if
especially
you're
with this movie,
day.
Especially with this movie, because you're gonna come out
regardless of the movie. Is that something that kind of is implied on the date?
I wouldn't think so. Because if you're going on Valentine's on the first date or second date, you're not going to try to make babies.
Okay, well, in the aspect of a relationship, if you're on a date with your girlfriend, is it somewhat implied that, hey,
oh,
you know,
will there be a little hanky-panky afterwards?
Little
oh.
extracurricular activity, oh. a scrotal monsoon,
Stone Cold Steve
say?
Austin would say, oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is there a lot of pressure on the guy? Because I've had one Valentine's, and I felt a lot of pressure.
What, to make the date or to copy what they saw in the movie?
Well, no. Again, the movie wasn't out when I had a girlfriend. No. But the fact that you have to live up to all the stuff and everything is booked. You know, forget about going to a nice restaurant. So I wanted to keep it simple. You know, I'm going to cook the girl dinner at home. You know, make a nice romantic little movie at home. Comfy on the couch and cozy. Thinking that's a good idea. And obviously gave her a nice little present. And I got her like a commitment ring. So that was a really nice touch on my part and some roses and stuff like that. But I sense at that moment for me personally, man, there's a lot of pressure on. This is like worse than Christmas. We're like,
no, you better plan ahead.
You're trying to do things last minute. It's not going to work.
Yeah, you better start like beginning of February. You better.
So
start
how was the process
ahead.
For you? Was it stressful? Was it like, oh, I kind of know what I'm doing? You planned ahead.
Oh no! The thing is now, it's to the point where you know you do certain nice things, and we actually it's like a little Valentine's Day week. You know, this Thursday. You know, we were.
Oh, so it's not about the day.
It's leading up to, and then you know, just something small. We're to the point where we don't want to exchange like big gifts, but still, it's always sweet to give you like a little gift and stuff. So you know,
being thoughtful
again. Tonight's gonna be a nice little cozy dinner. I'll exchange some gifts, and you know, that's what it is.
You're gonna go out in this weather?
No. Well, okay. Try to avoid the snowstorm, and we're gonna eat in. And, you know, that's it. To the point where, like, first of all, it's bitterly cold. So it's tough. It's tough to go out anywhere right now. It's miserably cold.
No, it is miserably cold, and it's a miserable day.
But I'm just telling you.
Not just because it's Valentine's Day, but one more thing before you reach your point, then we'll wrap this up. But from your experiences, not just with your current girlfriend now, do the girls tend to make it bigger deal than it really is? Do they buy into the hoopla? Is I guess what I'm saying, of Valentine's, of the whole the thing. About, oh, it's about love and this and flowers and candy.
That is a great question. I don't think that they make a big deal about Valentine's Day. I think it's more for like newer couples. I think you should do something on Valentine's Day if you're together, if you have somebody. You should do something. I don't think you should overblow it, though, because, okay. You know, you got birthdays, anniversaries. It's just, you know, it's to the point where it's something small now that you don't really have to go overboard. But if it's your first one, maybe you would want to do something like that.
Yeah.
That was great what you said. Make a dinner, you know, do something really sweet and from the heart. And that should be the first Valentine's. It should be something really...
Yeah. And really nowadays, you got to try to think outside the box because everything's so cookie cutter and copied. So then you have to be creative, and you know, girls love creativity.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what you do best. You're very creative. I'm very creative. We try to make things, you know, as sweet as possible. And now we're just showing that we're just a couple of sweethearts and we're just lovable like that.
Yes, folks, you can get to Jeff and I on hashtag the pat. The High Spot Podcast.
High Spot Podcast.
Oh, High Spot Podcast. Couldn't fit the in there? That's what I hate
it's
about that.
That's giving up letters.
That's another thing, too, that I was going to rant about. I mean, these character things. That was worse than I Am in AOL. How archaic is that? Which I stole that word from somebody. But, yeah, it's horrible. The dial-up and the I Am and the character limits. But, I'm still new to Twitter. So I hate to admit it, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, though. But
we don't
I'm
like
still new
we don't like technology pushing us around.
We don't, but unfortunately, we are victim to it because we have to.
Exactly.
So it is High Spot Podcast. My mistake.
But give it a shot. Man, all the guys out there that are like right now when you hear this are laughing at me. It's like, oh my god, that guy. Check your man card in the door. Give it a shot. It's not that big of a deal. Go enjoy it. You know what I mean? So that was the Quick Hits Valentine's Day edition. Brian, have a great one. Stay warm, please. It's going to be brutal out there. And try watching the All-Star game.
No, that won't be happening. I'll try to stay warm, though. But Jeff, have a great Valentine's Day with you and your significant other. You guys have a great time. Stay warm and, you know, stay cozy. It's going to be cold out.
Stay warm, guys. See you next week.
Happy V-Day.